Online shopping is easy and convenient, and the Gun Dealio smartphone app makes it inexpensive, too. Deals on guns, ammunition, holsters, optics, lasers, and more, available day and night. Load the Gun Dealio Apple or Android app today at GunDealio.com.
All right, it's another week. It's another Gun Talk. I'm Tom Gresham. Yes, it's Gun Talk, where we're going to be talking about, well, all things ballistic. Handguns, rifles, shotguns, it doesn't matter. We'll talk about guns. Ammo, of course. Optics, absolutely. How to keep guns safe in your home and still have them available for self-defense. Yeah, not as easy as you might think. Requires some thinking, requires some planning. And in many cases, frankly, it requires some compromise. Can't have loaded guns laying around the house if you have young kids in your house. And no, it does not work to tell them, don't touch it. No, not good enough. We can do better than that. We have to do better than that. And we are doing better than that, as a matter of fact. What you might not have heard, speaking of that, at least not from the general media, is that accidental gunshot deaths of children currently is at an all-time low. And I'm not even talking about the rate. I'm talking about the actual number. And I think it's the National Safety Council that keeps those records. And over the last roughly 100 years, the number of children who are accidentally killed with guns is at an all-time low. We have more people, lots more people. We have lots more guns. How can that be? How can that be? Well, easy. Education. We, the gun-owning public, we, the firearms industry, we, gun owner groups, have embarked upon widespread education programs for people in terms of how do you keep guns safe in your home. If it's not, well, the rule basically is this: if it's not in your immediate control, it needs to be unloaded or locked up. What does immediate control mean? It means you can walk over and touch it. If you are away from it, then it needs to be locked up or unloaded. Now, obviously, you have to adjust that. If you live alone, not as big a deal. If you have the chance of friends coming over, yeah, you need to take care of that. If you have kids in the house, absolutely. And here's the other thing. People say, well, my kids know better. Okay, let's take that. I just assume you're right. But what about their friends? What about when they bring someone over? And those kids aren't raised the way your kids are. It's just a thing. It's a responsibility thing. And we're doing very, very well with it. A lot of things going on today. A lot of things for us to talk about. I do want to mention, before we go any farther, we had the sad news of the passing of Jeff Quinn, the creator of the Gun Blast videos on YouTube. Jeff was a great guy. We had him on the First Person Offender show. I attended some events with him, shooting events. Just would give you the shirt off his back. Terrific guy. Sorry to lose Jeff. One of the good ones. We have other stories breaking out there. Obviously, the riots continue. And a lot of people are getting pretty nervous about it. And we have this story coming out of Austin that is really interesting. And throughout the day today, we're going to be talking about the whole, under the broad category of what would I do, what should you do, what can you do if you get caught in the middle of one of these things and people have stopped your car and maybe they've come to your window. Well, out of Austin, we have a story of, turns out, fellow's an Uber, I don't know, Uber or Lyft driver, and he had dropped somebody off near the riot in Austin, turned the corner to leave the area, and inadvertently, it appears, turned right into the middle of the march. And he's just trying to get through the crowd, and it's kind of a light crowd. You can actually watch the video of it. And he honks his horn, and it's like, it doesn't take much to light the fuse when you have a mob. And that lit the fuse. And the protesters / rioters turned on him, blocked the car. And then one of the rioters, because he's no longer a protester at this point, as far as I'm concerned, comes up to the car, runs up to the car with an AK-47 rifle, points it at the driver of the Uber. Unbeknownst to the rioter, who is all self-important, the fellow who's driving the car is an active-duty Army Sergeant, 1st Cav, who pulls his gun and shoots this dude with the AK 5 times, rendering him dead as a hammer. And then the Army Sergeant / rideshare driver drives off, honks his horn, clears the crowd, drives off, and while he's driving off, another one of these peaceful protesters shoots at him 3 times. The driver goes off, safe distance, pulls over, calls 911, reports what happened, and here we are. And so now we have the whole deal of, well, what would you do? And this man's attorney is saying, what would you do? You're in your car. You've been stopped by the crowd. A man has just run up to you with a rifle and has pointed it at you. What would a reasonable person do? I know what I would do. I would have done pretty much exactly what he just did. We're going to stop the threat. And trust me, if you think pointing a gun at somebody isn't a threat, try pointing your gun at a police officer and see what happens. We're going to see a lot more of this. We've already seen a fair amount of it. I'm not sure if it's the COVID pandemic, or it's the politics, or it's the media egging people on, or if it's the Soros-funded agitators and terrorists, and I absolutely do call them terrorists. If the goal is to frighten people into taking action, that's terrorism. If you will burn down buildings, burn cars, drag people out of their cars, beat them senseless, stab them, beat them with clubs, throw bricks, throw rocks, throw explosive devices, IEDs, as a way to try to get people to change their behavior, that is, in fact, the very definition of terrorism. So we're faced with these terrorists. What can you do? What are you allowed to do? What should you do? That's a lot of what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking with some experts about that as well. Also, as I get up and look at the calendar and go, whoa, it's August already. So the first thing I do this morning is I'm on the websites looking at fish and game regulations and when do the seasons open and how much time do we have, and maybe I need to get a camouflage kayak to do a little duck hunting, so I've got my eye on some of that as well. It's time. If you haven't done it yet, need to get all your gear and ready. You need to get out to the range. You need to sight in your rifles, but also then start practicing. We'll talk a good bit about that. So if there's anything you want to talk about when it comes to hunting and getting ready for season, we're game for that as well. Our number is 866-TALK-GUN. That's how you get in. Your thoughts about the riots. And here's the deal. Now they're saying, you know, we're going to take them out of the city. We're going to take them to the suburbs. We're going to take them out to the rural areas. Just a heads up for those folks considering that. Here's the thing about folks who live out in the country. You know, some of those boys will sit in a tree all day long just for the chance to shoot something. Just saying. 866-TALK-GUN.
Can't shoot at what you can't positively ID as a threat. Count on Surefire's combat-proven illumination tools to defend you and your loved ones when it matters most. Designed, engineered, and precision-machined for the ultimate in performance and reliability for more than 40 years. From the front lines to your front door, Surefire delivers the finest and most innovative tactical lighting solutions on the planet. Go with the proven performer. Go Surefire.
This land, once wild and free, fades now from our memory. But I remember what it was like, what we were like, what we are capable of when we band together. Perhaps more than any other landscape, wetlands embody the life-giving abundance that nature has to offer. And perhaps more than any other organization, Ducks Unlimited is working to ensure that our continent's wetlands not only survive, but thrive for generations well beyond this one. These natural wonders are where waterfowl begin their cycle of life, where the deer and the antelope play, and where we, the people, gather together to see and share what makes the outdoors so great. The time is now to band together with organizations like Ducks Unlimited. The time is now to rescue our wetlands.
The Ruger pistol that started it all is now even better. The Ruger Mark IV has the same great look as the Mark III, but now its simple one-button takedown means less time taking apart your gun and more time shooting it. Disassemble it in seconds for no hassle cleaning. Learn more about the Target, Hunter, and 22-45 light Mark IV series models at Ruger.com. The Ruger Mark IV, another rugged, reliable firearm from Ruger.
Interesting conversation with a fella involved in the firearms industry a couple days ago. One of the things that he said, and it's what I have been thinking, and I've been talking about a little bit, but he said they put their researchers on it. This is a major company. And he said he doesn't think, and they don't think, anything changes in terms of the rush to buy guns and ammo. Nothing changes after the election. I agree completely. I've been saying that all along. Well, what do you mean, Tom? Well, consider this. We know Joe Biden's platform, which is an anti-gun platform. It's a gun confiscation platform. It's a gun ban platform. We know that if Biden were to get elected, Biden and whoever is going to end up being president after him, shortly after him, probably, there will be a run on guns. Well, there's already a run on guns and ammo. But if President Trump gets reelected, and I hope that happens, then there will be more riots and more calls to defund the police and anything they can do to try to delegitimize and upset his presidency. And with that, you have millions and millions and millions of people who are going to go buy their first gun. I'm hearing reports of people who are self-described liberals, super liberals, Democrats who are saying, you know, we just went out and bought a gun. We bought a shotgun. We bought a handgun. I'm seeing people in the news, media people, saying they went out and bought a gun just because and went and got training. Something is happening here. So the question is, one of the questions is there anything that you should be buying now, assuming you can find it, just putting away or salting away? Anything you can think of, you think, you know, this is a good time. I think maybe, even if I have to pay a little more for it, I'm going to go buy X. What would that be? Our number is 866-TALK-GUN. Bill's calling in from St. Mary's, Georgia on 5. Hey, Bill, what are you thinking here on this whole ammo shortage situation?
Yes, Tom. I recently went up to Academy in three different locations up the East Coast here, and they have a very shortage of what I used to see, a whole shelves full of ammo. Now they're down to just several boxes here and there, and I couldn't even buy 30 rounds for, you know, hunting. And it's like you go on to the site, you know, to find out, hey, can I get some ammo? No, we can't send them through the mail to you. So it's like, well, there goes my gift card. I guess I got to go buy something else. So just for hunting, you know, it's hard to find ammo.
Let me ask you, were you surprised or did you know about this shortage before you got there?
I knew about it, and I still pursued it, and I had to find out for myself. And I, like I said, I went to three different stores, and the only place I can probably find it is, you know, mom and pop shop.
right. Oh, yeah, I agree. And, boy, that's the place to go right now because they may not have been as hammered as other places.
So So my question would be, is this the manufacturer storing up or not making more ammo, or is this the government saying, hey, y'all put a hold on ammo until we say, okay, we'll let you go and start selling it again?
Okay, so you're assuming that the problem is they're making less ammo. That's not the case at all. They're actually making more ammo. They're
exactly.
running 20.
So where is it all?
I can tell you where it is. It's in your neighbor's garage. Instead of going out and buying three boxes of ammo, people are going out and buying three cases of ammo or 30 cases of ammo, and they're putting it away. There are billions and billions, tens of billions of rounds of ammo in people's closets and garages right now. People have purchased enough ammo to last them individually the next 10 years. It is interesting, isn't it, that you can hear about the ammo shortage. You go, yeah, I understand that's going on. But until you actually go to a store and see clearly empty shelves, it just doesn't have the impact. But seeing those empty shelves stretching out all the way across the aisle, you're going, holy cow, this thing is real.
Yeah, yeah. And they also put signs up saying limited three boxes per customer.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's going to be like this for a year. I'm just telling you right now. It's going to be like this for a year. So when you find it, buy it. People say, well, I'm not going to pay that much for it. Cool, then you're not going to have it. Because there are people right behind you who will pay that much for it, and that's why the price is what it is.
Thank you, Tom.
All right,
I'll
appreciate
let you get
it.
To the next phone call.
Bye-bye. All right, you take care. Let's see here. Let's check. This was interesting. Tim on one out of Shreveport, Louisiana. Hey, Tim, what is this ammo you're looking at?
Okay, it's called seismic ammo. You heard of a seismic tremor like they have in California all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a 185 grain 9mm ammo. You know, most 9mm comes in 115 grain, maybe up to 147 grain. Mm-hmm. It's 185 grain, and out of a 4-inch barrel, it will go 916 feet per second. Produces a power factor of 169, and you will know this more than I will. Your alphabet agencies, such as the DEA, FBI, and U.S. Marshals, require a bare minimum power factor of 160, and most of your 9mm ammo does not produce that. It is a heavy grain, but I just want to know if you've known anything about it or know somebody who has test fired it. It essentially takes your 9mm as far as foot-pound energy and power factor and essentially turns it into a .40 caliber, upgrading a little bit. And I just wonder if you know anything about this.
Never heard of it. I'm looking it up right now. Seismic.
Good. Thank you.
Heavier, hits harder. Yeah. You'll pardon me if I've seen this about 142 times over the last 50 years. Of the latest, greatest, we're going to defy the laws of physics ammo. Yes, you can load stuff heavier. You can load stuff to more pressure. Until I actually had a chance to shoot it and test it and find out what's going on with it, I would want to know more about it. One thing they are doing, and I'm going to say that there's a possibility this actually may be something. They're using the shell shock cases. That's a new type of case that actually handles higher pressure. They may be loading this to considerably higher specs. I don't know yet. I am a guy, I always say, beware of low serial numbers. Don't be the first one to adopt new cool stuff, especially if you're betting your life on it. We know what 115 grain, 124 grain, 147 grain bullets do out of 9mm. They work just fine. And let me just jump in and say this one other thing. Trying to make your 9 be a 40 or be a 45 is a silly thing to do, because there is no difference between the 940 and 45 in being able to stop a bad guy. None whatsoever. So what are we doing here? I don't know yet. I'll look into it a little bit more, But yeah, the whole deal with this shell shock ammo, there's some new cases, shell shock is part of that. And also the military is just adopting some rifle rounds that are higher pressure using these composite, not like plastic, but actually made up of two different metals, cases, and they're loading them to higher pressures and getting higher velocities. So there's something going on, and we may be on the cusp of a new type of ammo. You know, who's it? SIG. And look, I appreciate the call. Lets me talk about this for a second. SIG has its ammo that they've developed for the Cross rifle. The Cross has just started shipping, by the way. And it is higher velocity, higher pressure, but in cases that can handle it, there's a lot I don't know about it. I mean, maybe they know about all this stuff. But when it comes to this, it's new technology, really. And what that's going to do for us, I don't know yet. We shall find out. As I say, I tend to be skeptical about the newest, greatest thing in ammo because people have sure been selling, I don't want to say snake oil, but they've been selling stuff for a long time of this is going to be greater, better. And we've seen stuff come and go. I think, as I'm looking at this whole technology based on these new metallic cases, I think there's something to it, and I think it's very possible it could change things. I know the SIG ammo designers are very smart, and the things they've been doing are pretty impressive, and this could be piggybacking onto that. And it's just another company, a new company called, if you want to look it up, seismicammo.com, and you can look at the FAQs there, and you can fill in the blanks. I'm doing the same thing real time as we're going now. Tell you what, when we come back, I want to talk to one of our favorite folks here, world champion shooter, about some new guns and also how to shoot some of these smaller guns. I love the small carry guns, but, you know, they're harder to shoot. And are there tricks to that? Also, we're going to talk about, well, I want to talk about the 10mm just a little bit. Yeah, that's a surprise, right? 866-TALK-GUN. That'll get you in here. I'm Tom Gresham. Be right back. We're back. 866-TALK-GUN or Tom Talk Gun. Easy way to remember that. You can always give us a holler. If there's something on your mind, if you want to talk about guns, you're in the right place. Oh, yeah, by the way, this is called Gun Talk because that's what we do. We talk about guns. Now, people say, how can you talk for 3 hours about guns? Actually, we talk about for 4 hours, including our podcast here, which is always funny because those of us who do this all the time talk about guns all the time. Speaking of, one of the fellows who I do that frequently with, and we just can't stop talking about it, joins us right now, Rob Latham, world champion shooter with Springfield Armory, an all-around good guy. And, Rob, it's almost like we just kind of pick up the conversation where we left off, man.
Well, I don't even know what we talked about last time, but I know we're going to talk about guns. You know, it's really not hard to talk about guns for 3 hours. It's hard to talk about guns for just 3 hours.
Exactly. I love it. I get a text from Rob. He says, well, what are we going to talk about? I said, guns. He says, okay.
That's so like every other day, right?
Yeah. Wake up, do it all over again. What are we going to do?
Hey, what are you going to do tomorrow? Talk about guns.
Take over the world. Okay.
Right. Take over the world. Right. Oh, Pinky of the Brain reference on me. Yeah.
There you go.
Hey, my question for you right off the bat, are you north or south?
I am north, going south for a few weeks, and then I'm coming back up where it is. Now, it's all the way up to 65 degrees here, so it's getting pretty tough.
Oh, I have got to come up there. You keep posting these photos on Facebook and stuff, and I'm like, why am I looking? So I'm looking at it. We're mild today in Phoenix. It's 100 here. It's 11:30, but we're only going to get up to 109, it says.
Only 109, eh?
Right. And you're going to see a solid 75 or something maybe today?
Oh, yeah, no, we may break into the 80s, you know, but it's kind of cool with a nice, you know, I know it's terrible. So get your rear in gear and get on up here.
I need to come up there. Oh, I need to come up there.
We might even be able to find a place to shoot a gun. You never know.
What? It's,
I know. Strange, isn't it? So I mean,
crazy.
It could happen. No, okay.
Well,
you'll love this. So we digress. I was out on the deck of our little cabin the other day, And we've got, you know, some cabins around us, and we hear some shots going off. Bang, bang. I'm thinking, wow, that's close. I mean, it's like, wow, that's like really close. So I get in my little four-wheeler and I run down the trail there. And there's a lady on her deck of her cabin, and she's shooting. I mean, I'm looking, first of all, you know, which direction she's shooting.
And right, she's that's important.
Yeah, it's kind of like, okay, where are these bullets going? And she's shooting off in the other direction. So I kind of come up and, hi, how you doing? What you doing? And she has two 38 special revolvers, one with a hammer and one without a hammer. And she is doing an A-B test. She's shooting into a stump, and she's comparing which one, whether she wants to be shooting at single action versus double action. And I'm thinking, well, you know what? Two thoughts hit me. One is, she's okay, she's safe. And two is, I know this test is going to be over in 10 rounds because she's shooting small 38 special revolvers. And at that point, she's not going to want to do this anymore.
Yeah, this will end real quick. She needs to learn to get some of that cheat ammo like we shoot, some of those old 148 hollow base wad cutters don't get
just got to go poof. Exactly.
Pop.
Right.
Yeah.
Pop. Yeah. Well, you know, and speaking of, in the search for small guns, it still happens that, and look, we both like revolvers. We shoot everything, but
love revolvers.
Taking a person who's really not accomplished at guns and giving them a revolver may not be doing them a favor in many cases. And if you really want a small-ish to smaller gun, I still think that either a 380 or a 9 with a little instruction is a better way to go. What's your take?
Oh, absolutely. The hardest thing to shoot, and Kippy sees this all the time because she specializes in the new shooters and the lady shooters, and it's funny how much they all get sold on showing up with a little 38 special and sometimes 357s, a little revolver that, while they are awesome, I mean, as a device, they're awesome.
Right.
I love them, but I no longer ever choose that as my first round of defense or carry. Because there's other stuff that's just better. Those double-action triggers sometimes, especially on the small guns, have shorter hammers and need a little more trigger pull weight. They're testy to shoot. They're hard for anybody to shoot. They're kind of an expert's gun.
They are an expert's gun. Although I will say, as a backup and an ankle holster, it's pretty hard to beat.
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, as far as simplicity, it's grab and pull. And if it's close enough, you know, we can all learn to hit things with them. It just takes a little bit of work. It's not a gun you pick up and never shoot one and expect to be an expert with it. It doesn't kind of work that way.
But. Well, Springfield has set the world on fire. You guys are just tearing it up with the Hellcat. Talk about small guns that are easy to conceal. And actually, not, you know, I mean, there's physics involved. They're small, they're light, and so they're going to kick. And there are some things to learn about shooting them, right?
Oh, absolutely. And that's, you know, those of us that shoot a lot always pick bigger and larger and heavier guns, because if you shoot a lot, you learn real quick they're easier to shoot, faster, more accurate, and all that kind of stuff. But the reality is, if a big, heavy gun isn't going to work for you, if you're not going to have it when you need it, then it doesn't matter how good it could be. And that's kind of developed this search now and this development of how good can we make little guns and tiny guns as such, like our little tiny 380 911s, and those, I consider that the tiny gun category. And they're small, super light. I'm going to say they're easy to shoot for their category, but they're not easy to shoot. And not everybody's up for the 380, even though I personally carry one all the time. And then we come to that next step up, which is, we call them the micros now. Is that kind of our terminology?
And the Hellcat, I mean, I keep hearing from people say, I bought it, I shoot it, I love it. That's an amazing pistol.
It's actually, so it's funny you bring that one up, because I just shot yesterday, 2 days ago, I took my Hellcat out. I finally have a holster for it. Farland finally came out with a holster. So I have a holster for it, so I can do one of my standardized tests, which is kind of stupid for a concealment carry gun to do, because it's 5 shots in 5 seconds from the draw at 25 yards on a USPSA target.
At 25 yards?
Right, 25 yards. So right off the bat, it's kind of, what's the point, you know, of that's not really, but while it's not necessarily applicable skill, it does kind of denote the shootability of the gun. I was able to shoot in 5 seconds several different times all 5 shots in the A zone of a USPSA target in 5 seconds from the draw. And for me, you know, that's a goal to do with any platform gun, whether it's a competition gun or a service pistol or duty gun or whatever. So to be able to pull it off with that little thing I thought was quite a testament to the shootability of that gun.
You know, and not everybody can do that because there's only one Rob Latham on the planet. You know, I mean, there's only one of you, but at the same time, it does show that it can be done with the pistol, and maybe it's, for the rest of us, maybe it's 7 seconds, maybe it's, you know, whatever.
Well, maybe it's a more reasonable distance. I mean, let's be honest.
There's that.
25 yards, you know, you're really pushing the boundaries of what could be considered, you know, close quarters or self-defense, but it's, from a shootability standpoint, to be honest with you, I did 4 out of 5 on the head of that target in 5 seconds, and I think if I keep practicing, I'll get all 5 on. But that's, once again, it doesn't really matter.
You know, of course, you're the guy who's responsible for the current coin shortage in the United States. That was the 10-penny challenge, baby.
Wait, that was you and Ryan in a weak moment when it was really hot in Louisiana.
That was the day that we were down there feeding the alligators, and they went over and they were. Remember the alligators right by the shooting range?
Yep. I mean, just the berm wasn't on the backside of the berm. Wasn't that a levee?
Yeah, oh yeah, there's the levee for the Mississippi River. He had the boats going by behind us as we're shooting toward the berm, going, well, don't aim high, dude.
You know? Yeah, don't shoot over.
Hey, let me take a quick break here, sell some soap here. Coming back, we're talking with Rob Latham from Springfield Armory, of course. If you'd like to be a part of the madness, 866-TALK-GUN. No, we never have any fun around here. We'll be right back.
A passion for shooting and hunting has driven product innovation at Hodgson Powder Company since 1947. Innovations like black powder substitutes, muzzle-loading pellets, and smokeless powder features like anti-copper fouling agents or temperature insensitivity. A family business from the beginning, Hodgson Powder Company is the largest U.S. supplier of smokeless black powder and black powder substitute propellants distributed under the Hodgson, IMR, Winchester, Pyrodex, 777, and GOX brands. Hodgson Powder Company, the gunpowder people.
You got your carry permit, and that's good. But you know you could use more training. Get the DVDs, which have what you need. Springfield Armory presents Concealed Carry 1 and Concealed Carry 2 with Bata Group. Learn specific concealed carry skills from Top Gun fighting trainers. Get trained. Be prepared. This really is life and death. ShopGunTalk.com. That's ChopGunTalk.com.
The Smith & Wesson M&P 380 Shield Easy Pistol revolutionized personal protection with its easy-to-use design. Now enter the M&P Shield Easy in 9mm. Built for personal and home protection, the Smith & Wesson M&P 9 Shield Easy Pistol features the same easy-to-rack, easy-to-load, and easy-to-shoot design of the M&P Shield Easy series. Available at a retailer near you. Find out more at smith-wesson.com.
We're talking with Rob Latham, of course, many, many, many time world champion and so many different events. Also with Springfield Armory, of course, shooter and actually sometimes gun designer, because I know that you have a lot of input into what goes on around there, Rob. You know, I mean, you can have input, but fortunately they don't listen to you, so that works out well for the rest of us.
Yeah, that's probably saved you guys from a lot of my own little idiosyncrasies and kind of the stuff I wanted from the moment. So thank goodness there's somebody there that was overseeing that.
Where you go back into your mad scientist lab and do things to your guns that, you know, nobody, and then you go, well, that didn't work out. Let's try something else.
Yeah, that's how we find out, you know, is you go back and you're like, okay, well, I'm going to ruin this part right now, likely, but I've got to see what happens when we do this, when I put the optical sight on the front, when I put it on the back, when I mount on the frame, with the camera on the slide, and how much can we lighten a piece, and what do the serration patterns look like? Uh-oh, throw that one away, go get another one.
You say, well, yeah, okay, well, we take it to the point where we go, that was too far, we might want to back that down just a little bit. Yeah.
That's how we find out, though, is you go too far and come back. It's not like driving a race car. When you go too far, you crash. When you do this, you know, so maybe I trash the slide every now and then. But, man, the knowledge we get is what has allowed us to turn standard normal type guns into things that are great performers. And that's, it's that little stuff. It's that little tweaking. Is that the right word for it? That,
sure.
That, it kind of takes you to that next
level. People, they see you shoot, and it's always amazing. I mean, in every sport, there are a few Michael Jordans, and you're one of those guys, and it's really fun to watch. But we'd say, okay, we can't do that. But the question then becomes, what's the relevance between what you do and your experience with competitive shooting to what we do, whether it's self-defense or shooting? Is there a way for us to take advantage of that with what you do to guns, I guess?
Oh, absolutely. If you look back, look at what it's a standard 1911 now with grip safeties and extended thumb safeties and better sights and improved triggers and adjustable triggers and ambies and all that kind of stuff. That all came out of competition first. Because in the competition world, we're testing way, way, way beyond the reasonable skills needed. So we push the equipment far, far, far beyond, what might be necessary. And that allows us to, there's a huge trickle-down effect. I mean, far more than you might ever believe. Just things as simple as the adaptive stippling that's on the Hellcat.
Yeah.
We've spent a lot of time trying what's too much, what's not enough, what grips too hard, what's abrade your clothing, what's too slippery. And that gets tested in an environment where pressure is involved and the performance is important, and the competition environment it's just in a very short amount of time we can prove what works and doesn't work, and it's just a valuable way of testing it. Yeah, I can go into the test fire chamber, we can set up and load 10,000 rounds and shoot 10,000 rounds for a durability test.
Right.
But a shootability test, man, Tom, that's got to be in somebody's hands. Somebody's got to be holding the gun. Somebody's got to be pulling the trigger.
The other part of it is, and you have the experience where you go out, and it's not going to take you 1,000 rounds through a gun. Sometimes you shoot 100 rounds, you go, okay, that's not working. We need to go back. I mean, that's all you need.
Yeah, well, sometimes it's 10 rounds. Sometimes it's one magazine. You shoot it through and like, okay, went the wrong way on that one. We need the trigger angle to be slightly different or the surface of the trigger to be a little bit different here. And you can feel, if you're sensitive enough to it and have shot hundreds of thousands of rounds, you just immediately can start seeing things that somebody else won't readily know. But when you put all those little pieces together, it drives your changes in a direction that the end product is so much better.
And that shows up in what you're putting out in the market.
Everything. That's in every gun we make. I mean, you look at the handguards that are on the Saint Victor rifles, that skinny, long handguard. That came right out of the competition world, because in competition we were constantly having to hold the gun in different places and lean it against things, and it wasn't always, little short handguards are like on the old M4s and things. I mean, we constantly had positions where the barrel was touching things, or we were touching the barrel when it was hot.
Yeah.
So that came out of the competition, and now that's just about standard for any sort of upgraded AR-type gun now.
I got a question for you, switching on you a little bit. Obviously, ARs are super popular, but sometimes hard to get. How about swapping out, and I only got like 30 seconds, swapping out an M1A, and maybe that's your next rifle?
Well, M1As are awesome. I'm old school, and I'm always going to like M1As and 1911s. The mechanism is so simple on an M1A, but I'm looking at one of our M1A scouts that I put an optical sight in the back in replacement of the rear sight.
Yeah,
which makes about as handy a little 308 as you can. It's actually smaller than our Saint 308.
So holy cow! Gun. Holy cow! That sounds awesome, actually.
It is awesome.
That would be fun. Fun. Okay, wait, hold on, Rob. We'll come back. We'll talk about guns for 6 or 7 more hours. It's just what we do. Talking with Rob Latham from Springfield Armory. When we come back, let's say 10mm, and I want to talk a little bit more about the pistols that are out there, what you might want to be looking for. We'll be right back. All right, Rob, we're going to enter the rapid fire round here. Just a few words on several different subjects. First off, talk about the 10mm.
One of my favorite cartridges, was designed to be the replacement for the 45 and the 9, as a service pistol. It has such a resurgence now because of its increased velocity over 45 and bigger bullets than 9. I think it's the happy place. I think it's the the best balance of all the cartridges that fit in the full-size gun.
And Springfield has 10 millimeters.
Oh, you bet. We have 10 millimeters in 1911s. We have 10 millimeters in XDMs.
Nice.
It just fits well. It's a good cartridge.
Okay. The new XDM Elite handguns that you guys have, what's the deal with those?
Well, that part we talked about earlier where they let Rob go in and change some things, well, mm-hmm. there's the result of it. I wanted a little bit different trigger. We shortened the pole a little bit on the weight. The surface is very, very flat on the trigger. It's a straight trigger, not a curved trigger, which I'm really loving these days. Improved cocking serration, some finishes on the inside that make everything a little bit smoother, and then all the rest of the great XDM stuff. It's a good platform made better.
Exactly right. For people who are saying, gee, why don't you guys make more guns? There's a shortage of guns out there. Why don't you make more guns?
Oh, my God. So we're running 24/7 out there, everybody. We really are. This is not an issue where we've cut down and stopped building guns. It's just y'all just buying them all up as fast as we can make them, if not faster, which I don't know the numbers you made, but I think isn't every month the record for
4473s? Yeah. Oh, yeah. I just had a guy last half hour say, "We know, where's all the ammo right now?" I said, "Well, it's in your neighbor's garage."
It's in our garage.
That's where it is.
Oh, man, I had a buddy the other day said, "Hey, well, you got any 9mm ammo?" I said, "Yeah, of course I have. Love 9mm ammo. Will you sell me some?" "Of course I won't sell you any."
Not a one. Not a round.
I can't go get any more.
That's right. Because, you know, I may need, and in your case, you need it professionally. You got to train, you got to shoot, you got to do all that stuff. But the rest of us, I'm thinking, okay. And here's the thing. You and I have been saying the same thing for the last 8 years. Buy ammo. It's cheap.
Buy it.
It's available. It's everywhere. Buy, buy, buy.
We have been going through the best time ever for ammo. It has been the cheapest and the most available up till, you know, Corona or whatever has really caused this, whether anarchy or Corona, whatever it is, has been the cheapest ever. If you weren't buying ammo when you saw a special on 9mm ammo for $180 a thousand and you weren't buying because you said, "Oh, I'll just get it later."
Mm-hmm.
Those of us that have it,
well, guess what? This is
then.
Later. Guess what? This is later.
This is later. We are later. These are those days you're preparing for, kids.
Yeah, yeah.
Man,
or you should have been. You know, and what you need to do now, you say, "Well, I'll just wait until this is over." Okay, and that'll work. But it's going to be a year. I think we're at least a year to get through this nonsense.
I hope you're right, because my pessimistic side, which I'm just naturally pessimistic, couldn't imagine it would have gone as long as it did now. So, man, I hope you're right. But put an order of the ammo. Guys out there, if you're listening to this, don't wait. Go order it. Yeah, it's going to take a while to get it. But we're producing everything at 100%. So get in line and get yours ordered.
Okay, so if you see a gun you want, go ahead and get with your dealer, place a real order, and then forget about it. It'll come in.
Right.
It's going to take a while, but it's going to come in. Don't worry about it.
It's going to come in. We're making more than ever. It's just there's a big line to get them.
There you go. Rob Latham, thank you so much. I always enjoy it. It's always way too short, man.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Lots of fun. Say hi to the family.
Will do. And you too. Take it easy, Tom.
All righty. Good guy. I mean, we do have the most fun. We get together to shoot and shoot, you know, video and all. And it is that. What we just did for 2 or 3 days nonstop. And it's like, well, what about the model? What's it? I had one of those, so there we go. All right, open lines for you if you'd like to call us right now, 866-TALK-GUN. We do have guests lined up. We're going to be having some fun. We're going to keep talking. We're going to talk about training. Oh, yeah, what should you do if you're caught in the middle of a riot? You might want to give that some thought.